Welcome to another episode of the Flow Protocols. My name is Kat Howell, and I am your host on today's discussion with a really good friend of mine. We go way back, Anna Shalina. If you guys have not heard her name before, well, if you knew me in my previous life in the agency and advertising space, you would have definitely encountered Anna. She was someone who was really pivotal in one of my last companies. At the time, I was super cognizant that mindset was a really big factor in people's successes. And so Anna was our mindset coach for a lot of the clients that came into the business, helping them work through money blocks, all kinds of different blocks. And you have recently made a pivot in your life, and you are now working in terms of relationships, the context of relationships and building well-being within relationships, those dynamics of our lives. So tell me first, like, how did you come to make this shift into the conversations that you're having now? Like, what drove that?
Wow. First of all, I'm so excited to be here. Kat, you are one of my all-time favorite people, and we've been through so much together. Like, we traveled the world, we worked together, we did so much, and like, just so excited to be here. So how did I make that pivot? I love a mindset. I studied human behavior for the longest time and neuroscience and helping people like succeed. And I absolutely, absolutely loved it. There was something though missing for me, in a sense that I sometimes, and I'm going to be really, really honest, like I sometimes couldn't or didn't feel like I fully embodied the mindset that I was trying to teach. And I was kind of like really seeking and searching for the message that I could embody and live and be a living, breathing, walking example of. And while I can do mindset like 80% of the time, the 20% that I couldn't do it, I struggled with that. I thought that I was a fraud. I thought, like, who am I to teach mindset if I am struggling with these things, you know? So that piece made me feel like out of congruency and out of alignment. So I ended up going on this quest, like, okay, well, if it's not mindset, what could it be? My next stop was actually mental health. So I wrote a book called The Mystery and Magic of Depression, because like I went through that and I was like, okay, maybe I can do mental health, because like I'm super passionate, it's very close to mindset and it's all connected. And after I wrote the book, I got the opportunity to go on a couple of podcasts and talk about mental health and depression. And what I realized was I was done with that topic. I had healed that chapter. I didn't want to talk about my depression anymore. It didn't feel like I was done with it. And I was like, crap, like what then? Right. And through a series of plant medicine, it was ayahuasca and then eventually iboga, where I was in the ceremony. And one of my intentions was like, please give me this message. Like, what do I do with all of this like knowledge and everything that I have and the experience? Like, how can I serve? Like, I really just want to serve with everything I have. And I was given this like profound and beautiful vision of, for lack of a better word, infinity. And it was just like these connections between all of these things. And then like loud and clear, it was like, it's all relating, and a better life is on the other side of relating. And I was like, okay, so if it's like relating with money, relating with your business, relating with your purpose, relating with yourself, relating with other people in business, relating with your clients and your team, and all of these like relating things start to come up. And that's how like the bigger theme of relating came up, and how I can really like fit all the things that I've done previously under this relating umbrella. And I feel that I can never be done with relating like I was done with depression. Do you know what I mean? Because like there's always going to be another level and opportunity to relate. And that's how it came about.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely noticed like a shift in your own energy since you started to go in this direction and have these conversations. So it feels like you're in alignment with your message. And for sure, like going back to what you were saying at the beginning, when we feel out of integrity with what we're doing or offering the world, it makes it so difficult to get anywhere or get any traction. So the unraveling of, okay, if it's not this, what is it? That's such a scary place to be, right? When you're like without a tether, a boat on the ocean without a tether. And it takes a lot of courage to be able to trust yourself that you'll guide yourself to where you are now. So well done on this journey. And I remember like you and I going to Dr. Joe Dispenza for a retreat, like 5 years ago, and waking up at 5 a.m. and doing all this stuff. So on the Flow Protocols, I like to talk about wealth and well-being, the alchemy of wealth and well-being, and obviously relating the relationships, whether it's human relationships or relationships that you have with money or your business, etc. They form an integral part of your ability to create well-being within yourself. How do you see, like, what is the impact that you're seeing on people's wealth and people's well-being when dynamics of their lives, relationships with family members, or is this something that affects everything, every area of their life?
It really does. If you're not in the financial position that you want to be in, a lot of the time you can be a conversation away from a new job or a new business opportunity or a new client or a new anything. And that's all relating. But you have to have that relationship with yourself to be open to it in the first place, right? So it really does affect everything. And with like well-being in general, it's like, how are you relating with your body? How do you relate with pain? Do you numb it? Do you learn from it? And that will then also have trickle down effects, whether it's like health or wealth or anything like that. So it's such an integral part to every area of life.
Mm-hmm. And so if somebody is in a position where, like what you're saying about pain, if you're in a position of pain, are you numbing it or do you learn from it? And someone is numbing at the moment, and it is impacting every facet of their life, what would be the advice that you would give to them?
That's a really personal question. I'm going to take it personally because I've been there and I numbed for a very long time, very, very deeply. And the thing is, there's lessons in the numbing too. So I don't want to like disregard it. And it's not that it's bad, but it can hold you back from certain goals, whether it's like health or relationship or wealth, right? And only you will know when you are ready to learn the lesson. And if that addiction is still there, if that numbing is still there, then that lesson is still there to be learned. I'm getting goosebumps talking about this because I've like literally been through so much of that myself. And, you know, or you'll start to see glimmers. Maybe you will listen to a podcast and someone says something, or you'll pick up a book, or you'll overhear a conversation and it'll start to like open up your eyes to go like, okay, maybe there is another way. And maybe I'm tired of this pain, and maybe there, because someone else has done it and has shown that there is another way, maybe I can do that too. And it seems, sometimes it seems impossibly hard. It is one of the hardest things that someone can be through, can go through, but it is possible because other people have done it, you know?
Yeah, and we serve ourselves even through the self-sabotage, quote unquote, like it is still us serving ourselves through that experience. Yeah.
It's very much a protection mechanism that we learned a very long time ago, that is serving us to protect us, but it's not serving us in the evolution that we're seeking today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what is one of the biggest areas that you see when working with people in terms of the dynamics, the issues that they face in dynamics or in relating? Where's the biggest blocks that come up for you, for clients that you work with?
A lot of the time, and lots of people don't want to hear this, but a lot of the time it goes back to our original two relationships, which is with our parents. You know, like whatever is going on with your spouse or this business partner or whatever form it's taking on, a lot of those patterns were created when you were young, right? And so whether it's like with a mother wound or a father wound, and sometimes people want to heal the thing that it's in front of them, and that's fine, we can do that. But eventually when we go down and we figure out like the root cause, it is very often rooted in childhood and rooted in our like early relationships. It can be with parents most of the time. It can also be with siblings, you know, and having sister wounds and brother wounds, whether it's like competition or someone's always like betraying you or stealing from you. Like, where did you first feel that? And then when you go back to that, then, you know, it is those early relationships. And when you really have the braveness
the
is
courage.
Not the right word, but the courage, that's the word. If you really have the courage to go there, because a lot of people don't want to, because it's painful. It can be painful, especially if you don't have the tools, if you don't have the navigation. But when you do have the courage, and it's like the boogeyman in the cupboard that like seems so big, but when you open the cupboard, the boogeyman is just like the scared little thing in the cupboard itself, you know? And so yeah, that's the biggest thing, that like people have all these problems on the outside. And actually when we dig deep, it goes down to our core relationship with our parents and sometimes our siblings.
And how do you transmute that? Is it just like therapy, talk therapy, or what has been your approach to that?
Yeah, so one thing, okay, so one core philosophy in the Relating Academy and everything we do is that relationships are a mirror. And that comes from the whole thesis, like the CIA released a document 20 years ago talking about how the universe is a hologram and how to access those altered states. And so from that, you know, if relationships are a mirror and these things are triggering you and impacting you, and if you start to see, well, where are you showing up in a similar way? How can you take radical responsibility? And how can you see yourself more honestly? And, you know, those blind spots that we have, how can you shine light on those? And with a coach, like that helps you shine light on those. And then when you, and it's not about like self-blame, it's not go like, oh, I'm a piece of shit too. It's not like that, right? Mm-hmm. It's more about like, oh, wow, I have the full spectrum of the human condition too.
Mm-hmm. The duality.
And really owning that, where it's like all the bad and all the good, and being able to hang out with your shadow side. Mm-hmm. And that then when you witness that shadow in someone else, whether it's a parent or another relationship, then it's not that bad. And you can transmute that trigger by self-regulating, by alchemizing emotions. And we have all these tools. But the first step is to really recognize that shadow that you see on the outside and work with it with yourself. And that's why I really believe that all relationships can be transformed from the inside.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that embracing the duality piece has definitely been a big part of my year this past year, because I think I was aspiring so much to the greens and then almost holding like an expectation over myself that I need to be green all the time. And that if I'm not able to receive at the full capacity. and some things that I went through in the past year that were not green experiences at all sort of forced me to reevaluate and to go, actually, like, to be human is to be duality. It's literally an embodiment of duality. And when we suppress that duality or those shadows, or we shame ourselves from that, we actually prevent receiving in this way. You get to still receive even with your shadows, even with your duality. And the concept of mirroring is, obviously, you know, I'm like big on that as well. It's definitely our jam here. And one of the things that I see coming up a lot in some of the groups I'm in is people having a fear of showing up, putting their business out there, or sharing their message, or taking a leap of faith, because they're afraid of being judged by others, afraid of being rejected. And my response to that is always like, okay, well, where are you judging people? Like, where are you judging people in your life right now? Because you wouldn't have that fear if you weren't doing it. It wouldn't be a thing in your vibration if that wasn't something you yourself was doing. And even that's sometimes just judging ourselves, right? Not necessarily other people. So
it's both. It's judging yourself, like, because if you're going to be like a really harsh judge of yourself, you're going to be a really harsh judge of others. True. And then you're going to have that fear that others are going to hold you to that same level of judgment that you are exuding.
Yeah. And literally being afraid of other people judging you is a form of judgment in itself. You're assuming people are going to judge you, which is judging. Yes, totally understand these mirrors. One of the things that I get asked a lot is people will say, okay, so in terms of relating, there's, you know, in my opinion, there's like three or four massive dynamics of our lives. For the people listening to this, obviously the one with ourselves, the relationship with ourselves is foundational. It's key to everything. It sets the cadence for everything. And then for a lot of the listeners here, they will have businesses. So I believe your business is a massive relationship of your life because it takes so much focus. Money is another one. Like most of us, regardless if you're in business or not, it's a huge energy consumer, and a relationship that we have in our lives, our spouse, our children, our family. And sometimes I will get people say to me, like, I really want to, you know, heal, or I don't know if that's the right word, but like get into a really safe, exciting, expansive relationship with my money. So increase my wealth. But one of my relationships, my other foundational relationship being with my spouse or partner, they have a scarcity mindset. They're always putting me down. How do you address that when people have relationships that are conflicting in terms of like the intention? How would you address that, especially based on mirroring?
That person who has this lack mindset is you. You are that person. And the only way to shift that is to alchemize it in a way to understand, what is it trying to protect you from? You have both. You have that part in you that is hugely abundant and even infinite. And then you also have the limited human self who does need to worry about resources from time to time. Maybe our ancestors have been through famines, have been through, like, and we carry all of that like generational trauma through us, so that part is just trying to protect you. And the more you externalize it and make that person wrong and yourself righteous for like, oh, look at my abundant mindset, look how great I am, look how shitty you are with your scarcity mindset, the more you like tear that duality apart and keep it apart, the harder it's going to be. The more you see both of them for what they are, it's part of you. And there's usefulness to scarcity. There's usefulness to abundance. There's this book that I really love called The Power of Broke. And the idea is that, like, when you're broke, you get to be more creative. There is like certain things that you have to do when you have lack and scarcity, and there are benefits to it, you know? So when you shun the one side and you think this side is right and that side is wrong, you're going to stay stuck. So it's really understanding that both sides are there to serve you, but what is the ultimate goal? And what you want to help your partner understand is that you're not judging them. So that's the thing. Like, you know, we just came from talking about judgment. You want to love them for their protectiveness. Go like, oh my gosh, I see you. I see you that you like are really here to protect, and this is your way of doing that. And thank you for that. And really come into like such profound gratitude for this part of yourself and for this other person. And then help them. And when someone feels that you're grateful for them, they'll start to soften and open up and go like, oh, finally, I don't have to hold on to this, these beliefs and the scarcity so tightly. I can relax. And then they can start to see your perspective of abundance more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that. They can, when you shower people with a gratitude, it's like magic dust, right? Suddenly they expand. Yeah. Is there a point where you would advise people like, okay, this relationship needs to be walked away from, or is everything transmutable just through your own self-acceptance of that thing? Or is there a line somewhere where it's like, this is clearly not it for you? And how do you know when you've reached that line?
There is a line, and we live in a world with abundant connections and relationships and people and mirrors. And when there's a time when you have like worked with this specific mirror, because the other person, you are their mirror, right? And they have free will too.
Right.
And once you guys have both come to this point of like, I don't think our mirrors are taking us to the destination we both want to go to. I think it's like when the destination starts to be in two different places, then it's usually a good idea to start to consider then maybe we could find better partners to help us get to our individual destinations.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not so much the person, but it's more about like, what do you really want? And what's this destination and this adventure that you're going on? Like, not just destination, but like the adventure that you want to go on. And if they look different, then you might need different adventure buddies.
Mm-hmm. So could you not argue then that somebody with a scarcity mindset in a relationship and the other one with an abundance, like the destination right off the bat is different?
It can be. It's very difficult. That's a very broad question. That's a little bit difficult to answer because every case is different. Yeah, sure. It can be, the destination can be different. I really feel that the best couples are ones with a similar vision for their lives.
Mm.
Like, it's so important to have like a vision that you both like buy into, and there's not much compromising on the vision. You know what I mean? Like, you can compromise on like how you're going to get there and this and that, but like the vision, the thing that's going to like light you up and like light you, like make your soul come alive and their soul come alive, like needs to be so true to yourself. And the best couples are the ones that are true to their vision, true to their light, and then come together and then go towards that.
Yeah. And so when it comes to personal relationships, like with your spouse, what has been, or your partners, what has been the impact that you've seen when people have strained relationships in this area of their life? And how does that impact their money or their business? Have you seen?
Oh, hugely.
Yeah.
Hugely. And like, in reverse, as soon as we work on the relationships, then the money starts to flow, the business starts to become easy, like like things just like work much better. So it's such a big difference. It's day and night, really, when you have like supportive, nurturing, nourishing relationships in your life with your kids, with your spouse, with your parents, with your neighbors, with your community, you know, and all of these relationships are going to feed your ability to receive, because it's all energy and it's all love. Okay. Mm-hmm. And if you're having these constrictions within relationships, they are going to show up in your business by, you know, lack or problems or people trying to betray you or steal money from you or all these things that happen in business. But a lot of those things will ease up when you look at your relationships and start to improve those.
Mm-hmm. And what about like the relationship with money? What are some of the tips or things that you see coming up there in terms of that dynamic? Is it also like childhood stuff that we learned and narratives?
It's definitely childhood stuff and narratives from like as a foundation. We all have stories about what money is and what money isn't, and our worthiness as well is a really big factor, right, with our ability to receive money. And so, you know, like identifying what is my story around money? What is my, am I expanding your greens? Am I contracting my reds? Right. And what do I want it to be? So yeah, it's all stories at the end of the day, whether it's relationships and your story about your relationship with your mom or your dad, or your story about your relationship with money. It's all stories. I once did a workshop, I'll never forget this, and we did a exercise on like finding your why, and all came back to childhood. And this one entrepreneur, he just like goes like, oh my gosh, I've never thought about this, considered this. And I'm like, what happened? He's like, the reason why I'm so driven in business, but like I'm spending so much time away from my family and my kids and everything, is because of the lack of money I perceived when we were kids. Like we had so little, and I promised myself that was not going to be my story. And now I don't need to be making more money. We have plenty of money, but because I have this like pain from that story, I just keep making more money and making excuses to stay at work, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's like that was his story. And now that he can see it, he can decide whether he wants a new story.
Yeah. So this is what you're helping people with in Relating Academy.
Mm-hmm.
People
yeah.
Come in. So, yeah. Tell me more, but a bit more about that.
Yeah. So primarily we choose someone to choose one relationship that they want to transform. We have a few modalities. They include the DeMartini method, somatic practices, internal family systems, which is parts work. So recognizing different parts in other people and your business as well. We have breath work. We have nonviolent communication. So we also have like very practical, tactical, like how to communicate your needs and feelings to another human so that they are understood. And when someone else is communicating their needs and feelings, that you are able to understand them without your filter. Right. So it's all of these tools that we give people throughout. We have like an 8-week program, and we do one-on-ones, as well as we have expert coaches in these different modalities, that at the end of the day, you walk away being able to relate to yourself and to other people so much better.
So who's it best for? Like who benefits the most from the Relating Academy?
Most of our students are entrepreneurs, because I just love working with entrepreneurs, mostly because when I can impact one entrepreneur, they go on and impact 100 more people, right? It's almost like my way of increasing the ripple effect, because they just get to have this influence in their businesses and their communities and their families and everything. Yeah. So I just love working with entrepreneurs. So most of our groups are entrepreneurs.
And so this would obviously benefit their business as well, their revenues.
Yeah. At their bottom line, every single time they work on these relationships, their bottom line goes up.
So it's like entrepreneurs that maybe have a strained relationship with at home or in their mm-hmm. family dynamics.
Yeah. So a lot of entrepreneurs hide from relationship stuff in their business, and they spend a lot of time at work. Then they think that, you know, I'll just leave that at home and I'll spend 14 hours a day at the office and it'll be fine. But then when they do start to realize, oh, this isn't how I want to be remembered, this is not the legacy that I want to live. You know, some of the biggest regrets that people have, like there's this book that writes about these like top regrets that people have from life, is not staying in touch with friends, not being true to themselves, and not nurturing relationships. And I help people not have those regrets by realizing that they can change their relationships now and they can be good and they don't have to be scared to go home and face these relationships. Sometimes it can be with kids, it can be with parents. A lot of the time it is with parents, and a lot of the time it is with spouses. And the biggest reason why a lot of people have strained relationships with parents is because it was designed so that parents and children are on a spectrum of duality different, mm-hmm. so that you can learn to love the whole spectrum, right? Mm-hmm. A lot of nun-like moms will have porn star kids, and porn star moms will have nun-like kids. Mm-hmm. You'll see it's this like spectrum, and it is so that you can love the opposite and get to experience the whole opposite. And so people think like, oh, I should have a better relationship with my mom. And the same thing actually goes with siblings. You know, we get a sibling that's so opposite to us so that we can love the full spectrum and love the opposite. And so people don't understand. They're just like, oh, it's strained, but it shouldn't be strained. But when you understand that it should be opposite and it's there to be loved and understood, then you start to go like, oh, you start to be curious about it. Go like, okay, cool. What can I learn about this? And how can I lean into it?
Yeah. Yeah. There, it's almost like a soul contract where we agreed to like, okay, I'll be the bad guy this time. You be the victim, you know, and I'll do this time yeah. and this time. And I had a strained relationship with my dad, as you know, for about 4 or 5 years when I was in my late 20s. He said some things to me that really just bothered me so much. And I got so in red and so angry. And I didn't speak to him for 5 years. And, you know, mm-hmm. I was like definitely the victim. And expecting this guy to give me an apology, and that would be the only way for me to ever forgive this man. And after about 4 or 5 years of this, I started to realize that like the anger was eating me out. Like it was energetically like affecting me. It was like an anchor in my life, and that I was gonna have to like forgive this man without him saying sorry to me, without expecting him to do anything in return. And the way that I achieved that at the time was I simply gained empathy for his own life experiences and the things that he had been through. And it made me realize when I walked in his shoes, like I probably would have reacted the same way given everything he's gone through. And I was able to find a space of forgiveness with my dad, and we're not best friends. But I will say it's like a weight is lifted when you repair relationships that are especially really close ones, like your family and your siblings mm-hmm. and your, you know, friendships or these things that are really, really closely tied to you. They just anchor us down when we're feeling strained in them or unfulfilled or depleted or used or any of those things. And for sure, I noticed like a huge shift just in my own creative capacities, my own well-being, being able to repair this relationship. And I think it's, you know, it is foundational to making money and succeeding in business, because the concept of mirroring applies just as much in money and business. They're both mirrors of you. And if we are being triggered in relationships and we're a victim of our lives and we're suffering under this anger and resentment, it 100% affects your ability to make money and your ability to attract people into your business or career path or whatever it is that your craft is doing.
Yeah. One of the best things that I've ever realized is that nothing that anyone says is ever about you.
Right.
And if you really take this on, like the good or the bad, right? I've had like someone really very dear and close to me tell me to unalive myself, right? And I did hold on to that and was angry about that and very sad about that for a while. And that came from their pain body and their pain, right? Like it didn't mean it didn't hurt. I'm not saying like I'm Buddha here and like transmuting and alchemizing like on the go all the time. I'm also human. But the more I sat with that and realized that it had nothing to do with me, it was their pain that was speaking. And if I can just be a channel of love, where it's like, no matter what anyone says, it's all good. It's all love. It's fine. Mm-hmm. It's good. The more healing that they get to do and I get to do as well at the same time.
And so on that, is there a discussion around like trolls and handling that side of things? Because I do see that as well, is people afraid to put themselves out there. Again, that might just be the fear of judgment again, but it's like, I'm afraid of trolls. And having been in the online space for 10 years, I remember joking in the agency where we would tell clients like, listen, even Mother Teresa is going to get trolls. Like, if you're any good at what you do, you're going to get trolls. And that's actually a good sign. Like, it means that you're out there. But that whole concept of like what they're saying is not actually about you. You've just triggered a wound inside of them, right? And they're trying to make themselves feel better in retaliating somehow.
No one who's doing better than you is ever going to troll you. Ever, sure. ever.
I love that.
Ever. Yeah. So whoever, if there is a troll, they are in a basement or in a very emotional basement. It could be emotional, it could be physical, whatever it is for them, right? Yeah. And you can like, the more trolls you get, by the way, the more popular you are. So you're going to have this yin and yang of positive versus negative, of like people celebrating you and people like throwing shit at you. And I don't know why I'm going to bring her up, but the influencer Alex Earl, I heard her say one day, she went from like 500,000 followers on TikTok to 5 million within like a year. And she was talking about trolls and she was like, I celebrate them. I'm like, bring it on. You know, like she does these like get ready with me's makeup things and all these people are saying like bad things and good things and like whatevs. And it really has nothing to do with you. But you have to get so okay with yourself. Mm-hmm. That's your journey. And if those triggers are there, then the more you can recognize them and go like, okay, cool. Here's my next lesson. It's like picking up a curriculum at university. It's like, okay, this is my curriculum for the semester. How to get so good with myself that whatever anyone says, just it's like water off a duck's back. Mm-hmm. It's always obviously easier said than done. But when you do, every trigger leads to a trauma, which is an opportunity for healing. So if you are ever triggered, it's always your trauma. And it's like, okay, am I going to take this opportunity for healing or not? And sometimes it's not the right time to be healing, right? And sometimes be fucking triggered. You know, be upset, whatever, do your thing. I do that too. Like, you know, we're all human. And then when you're ready to heal that trigger and that trauma, you will.
Yeah. And because they are reflections of you, it's almost like you're setting up a litmus test. Because I remember when I first came out as a witch with my alchemy practice, first of all, I was so ashamed of that for a long time and afraid of being rejected. So I had to transmute that. And when I did come out, I started to get trolling, especially from the Christian community. Like, you're going to go to hell. Like, this is why you have depression, because you're doing this stuff. And I found that it really tested my resolve in my own practice. It really like made me wobble to such an extent where it was like, okay, am I actually behind what I'm doing here? And am I going to just keep doing it regardless? Or am I going to take what these people say on board, you know? And so many times, actually, if you get a troll and they make you fall off the quest, maybe you weren't on the right quest to begin with. You know, if you're able to fall off that quickly when somebody tells you no, or you're no good or whatever, right? So it's almost like a test of will, if you will, that we put in our way. By the way, as we're speaking about money, there's like a money spider. That's why I keep looking around, because this is like jumping spider that comes to visit me on my computer every time I talk about money. It's so random. It's blessing us with lots of abundance.
I'll bring it on. Yeah. Bring it on. I love that. That is so cool. Thank you for sharing. Yeah. I just want to share, relatively recently, I did something called rejection therapy. Have you heard of this, Kat?
I mean, I've heard of it, but I don't know the concept.
Okay, so the point is, you want to get rejected, right? So I started very small. Yeah. I went on a walk and I decided to ask someone for a hug. And the first person, he gave me a hug. And I was like, darn it, I didn't get rejected. Like, I failed. Yes. So then I went to the next person and they did reject me. They were like, no, thank you. And I'm like, yes. And I was like, so happy. And I was like, on cloud nine. And it got like, it reframed my thinking that like the point is like the rejection is the point. And when you put yourself out there, 3 out of 4 times you will be rejected. And if you expect that and you celebrate that, you're like, yes, oh my gosh, thank you for rejecting me. Let's go again. Where can I get another one? Because if 3 out of 4 times you're going to get rejected, then the fourth time you're going to get accepted. And you're going to go do this over and over and over again. And I forgot this lesson because, you know, being in business, it's like, you know, you these rejections happen all the time. And I went into a phase where I forgot how badass at rejection I can be. And doing this little exercise, like, reminded me, and like, it literally woke me up to how happy I was to be rejected. And that also, that gave me that like oomph as well, because I have to be honest, like, I had quite a bit of like trepidation or fear of my own judgment about like releasing the Relating Academy. At that stage, I had like tried so many different things, and I released so many different books and this and that. I was like, and then I tested my resolve, like you said, and I had to just go like, I do really believe in this, and I do really embody this, and I do really want to, if there's anything I'm going to be rejected for, it's this, because it's also worth it. This message that I am putting out and I'm sending and I'm teaching and I'm sharing is so fucking worth it. There's nothing that the world needs more right now than better relating. I don't care if we talk about geopolitical or money or friends or communities or health or anything. Like, I really, like, to my core, believe that. And because it's that important to me, I will get rejected every day if I have to, until someone says yes.
I love that. Rejection is like optimization. How are you going to know how to improve what you're doing unless some people say no and some things don't convert, you know? It's such a vital part of refining our creations. And I'm so glad that you are having this conversation now. You've changed hundreds of people's lives, possibly thousands. And when we work together in FATC and the Academy, and I know a lot of people listening, you've touched their lives. You've been on one-on-one calls with them in the past. And the shift into relating is definitely something I agree fully with. I think the more I go down into business, the more time I spend in business and playing, I think just the more I age actually is what I'm trying to say. The older, I was like avoiding that. The older I get, the more I realize really it's just about fostering affinity towards the dynamics that you want to nurture and expand in your life. It really is about that, which is relating. So people that want to join you inside of the Relating Academy, when does this kick off? Where do they go to sign up?
Yeah, so you can go to relatingacademy.com/cathowl, and there's a free guide on how to improve any relationship. It's 5 steps. You can improve your relationship in 7 days. It works that fast. Following that, you can also do like a free 7-day challenge. I'll hold your hand if I have to improve this relationship, just to prove to you that it's possible. And so from then on, if you do want to work with me, it's like a call kind of situation, because I'm very selective about who I work with. And then we kind of take it from there. So relatingacademy.com/cathowl, everything is there.
Awesome. I'll put the link in the show notes for people to check out. And also, if they want to find you on social media, where can people go to connect with you?
Instagram at Anna Shalina is my main one, but you'll find at Anna Shalina on YouTube and Facebook and TikTok. Yeah. So at Anna Shalina, and Instagram's the main one.
Cool. I'll put those below as well. So go connect with Anna. She is definitely a life changer. She knows her shit when it comes to business, when it comes to mindset, when it comes to relating. And there's nothing more important or significant in your life than the relationships you hold with others, your money, your business. It is the key to falling into flow with all of those things. And it does begin with you. And I think this is such a beautiful, important message. So thank you so much for joining me today, Anna. It's such a so good to see your face and hang out and talk shit.
Thank you, Kat. I want to actually end on a relating or relationship topic that not a lot of people think about, which I've seen you do incredibly well in your career, and that is your relationship with your purpose. Lots of people like struggle with like, what's my purpose? What do I do? Da, da, da. And what I've seen, like Kat, you do, and we've worked together really closely as well, is like you actually commit to your purpose and you build a relationship with your purpose. And it's like most people relate to their purpose as if they found a soulmate, but they've never called them again, or they never texted them again, or they never entertained them again, you know? And they're like, but it's about like waking up in the morning and going like, I choose this purpose and I'm going to commit to it and I'm going to take steps towards it, you know? And like, I've had to commit to my purpose with the Relating Academy every day, like with the doubts, like with the questions, with the uncertainties, with all the unknowns. And so I just want to encourage everyone to just like think differently about like relating with themselves and their purpose, like on a day-to-day level. And when you commit to this purpose starts to commit to you. And this is what I've seen you, Kat, do so well, whether it's like was in the agency or with like the witchcraft or like with the money magic. It's like you like truly commit to this purpose and then it comes and commits back to you. It's like a soulmate relationship, right? And so I just want to commend you for that, because it's really beautiful to watch and you're such a beautiful and amazing example of that. And so I just wanted to share that and end
the chat. I appreciate that. I mean, I will be honest, I don't always feel connected to purpose, which has been another lesson for me to go like, our purpose is actually just to relate, just to be here. It's not even a vocation, it's not even an offer, it's not even like a product. But when I do get inspired, I do kind of go all guns blazing. That is
yeah, but you know, like you could be married to the best like partner, spouse in the world, but you'll have days and you wake up and you won't feel connected to them.
Yeah, you're like, why? You know, like having so that loud? Yeah.
Having that expectation that there's that connection is going to be every moment of every day, you're setting yourself up for failure.
Yeah.
So rather than that, going like, oh, some days I'm not going to feel connected. Okay.
That's definitely been a big learning curve, because I think we feel really uneasy if we're not connected to a vision. Like that in between space you found yourself in recently, I found myself in recently many times. It's super uncomfortable, but I think it's like going back to the basics when you're in that moment going, okay, it's actually like part of a normal cycle. You will reconnect to things that compel your soul. And the way that you nurture that navigation is that you just do the shit that feels really good to you. Nurture yourself in the here and now, you know, don't shame yourself for that. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Perfect. Perfectly said.
All right. Thank you so much, Anna. I appreciate you and love you so much. Thanks for joining us.
I appreciate you. Thank you.
there we go.